You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
So if you remember at the start of the year or towards the end of last year, coming into this year, there was a huge conversation around the global minimum tax as an international framework that was established by the OECD and the G20 to better manage how organizations pay corporate tax throughout the world. And South Africa adopted that global minimum tax framework. Of course, our minimum tax rate for corporates sits well above the 15% minimum threshold that was set in place. But a recent World Bank conversation has emerged where the World Bank has suggested that South Africa employ a similar structure from a taxation perspective where it relates to special economic zones. We're going to be taking a look at this in a bit more detail with Distinguished Professor for Sociology at the University of Johannesburg, Professor Patrick Bond. He joins me on the line now to see what we make of this. Prof Bond, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. I thought the whole purpose of special economic zones was to enhance and encourage trade.
Yes, and special is the most important word. An economic zone can be a sort of sovereign place where you, as a company, you don't pay very high taxes, you don't worry about labor or environmental. That's the Chinese secret. That's where industrial development zones and SEZs really got their start, Shenzhen especially. Now, in South Africa, the original IDZs, especially the very first and, you know, still today the biggest, Kucha, outside Gqeberha, and that one has been particularly connected to the auto industry with two Chinese companies, First Auto Works and Beijing Auto Industrial Corporation. Then we have Dube, just at the Durban airport, the King Shaka. And the biggest new one, with everyone's worried about, could be as much as $10 billion, 170 billion rand of investment at some point. That's the Messina Makado Special Economic Zone. And there are another dozen or so, and they CZs in Tshwane and the Atlantis. And, you know, there's lots of things that are out there called SEZs. Not everyone working in them gets the 15%. That seems to be what the World Bank wants, to bring more investment into the SEZs.
Professor Bond, just to be clear, are we looking to increase the taxation in these zones? Are we looking to decrease the taxation in these zones? How are these special economic zones currently set up in South Africa in particular?
Well, our broader corporate tax rate, 27%, it's kept coming down, 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 with the hope that that incentivizes new investment. The peak was about, I think it was 52.5, if I'm not mistaken, in 1992. The apartheid regime was really needing that corporate tax. And then Mandela and Mbeki, even Zuma, and Ramaphosa, they've cut it, and now it's 27. So it's a big set of tax cuts, with the anticipation, with the logic that if you lower the tax, you get more investment. That actually hasn't happened. We've had especially sort of an investment strike from big business, aside from some of the mining industries where it goes up and down. And the exception might be especially Kucha, and to some extent Dube, and now Messina Makado. There are big investments planned. And the question is, are they genuine, and are they going to have multipliers? Will they help to get other investors in? Will they draw on the local economy? There's a huge controversy, and even the Gqeberha Chamber of Commerce is angry that the two Chinese companies are doing import of, you know, basically knockdown kits. They just screw them up together for those First Auto Works, Beijing Auto Industrial Corporation. So they're not really good investments. Dube similarly has some controversies. The big phone company, Mara, failed. And probably the biggest fight is going to be very close to where Cyril Ramaphosa grew up, his high school, very close to Messina Makado. Your listeners may know that's, if you go over Louis Trichardt, the mountain, Supransberg, you come to this sort of, let's say, baobab zone, you know, thousands of baobabs. They're being chopped, and coal is being dug by a Chinese company that took over MC Mining. And they hope that they're going to then turn that coal into ferrochrome steel and, you know, be successful way up there, where there's pretty much nothing already. It's about an hour south of the Zimbabwe border, south of Messina. Wow, these are, you know, I mean, $10 billion claims. You know, they're not really going to, you know, pan out. None of these SEZs really do work. They just give big companies big tax breaks, 15%. And I don't think that's, you know, particularly healthy, because especially when it's coal in Messina Makado, there's a climate catastrophe. We actually have to leave that coal in the hole.
Professor Bond, can we take a look at the special economic zones and compare them to some of the other initiatives that are put in place? I mean, we know we've got initiatives like government subsidies that are being provided to international companies that come into South Africa. I think of one such example in the automotive sector, where we're incentivizing international automotive companies to set up their assembly plants and factories in South Africa via subsidies. How do we strike the balance between using the subsidies as a tool to attract that investment and commitment into the country and doing it via special economic zones? Is there a distinct difference? Are there distinct benefits? And should we be weighing up one versus the other as a mechanism?
Jimmy, it's a tough question because the situation's fluid. And the reason it's fluid is partly Donald Trump. You remember his tariffs that hit us so hard from February, and then especially his anti-South African hits. I mean, he's been trying to protect the U.S. car industry. So from 2024, exports of 26,000 vehicles to the U.S. in 2024, then it went down to about 6,000. And then the other big factor, the Chinese and Indian cheap car invasion, and those have really displaced local production. So I must say, if we're spending, you know, around 40 billion rand a year from the fiscus on export subsidies for automobiles, and we still aren't really producing any electric vehicles, and then we get climate catastrophes, and the Durban rain bomb in 2022 smashed the Sabingo factory of Toyota. About 4,000 cars were lost, and then, you know, sort of Durban has to now foot the bill not only for, you know, new rainwater, you know, sort of storage, the pumping, the rainwater that has to be moved away from Toyota, but now the insurance company of Toyota is suing Durban. To me, it looks like a bit of a disaster that we've basically put way too much emphasis on subsidization of these big companies and not getting very much in return. Certainly jobs, certainly new investment isn't as high as we want. And now we've got these import waves, and the Metal Workers Union, the main union, and some of the auto producers, they're demanding tariff, you know, 100% tariffs on the Chinese and Indian imports, which have gone from about 2% to nearly 50% of South African local consumption. I even myself bought well, I won't say the name brand, but it was, I thought it was made in Ispinko. Nope, made in India. I didn't know that. So these are the sorts of problems that an economy like ours has, being way too dependent upon international commerce and not yet having the protections we need.
Protections are needed. Our economy, however, does need to keep growing and need to have some level of investment in order for that to be achieved. We'll have to leave the conversation on that note. Distinguished Professor of Sociology at the University of Johannesburg, Professor Patrick Bond, joining us to take a look at the special economic zones in South Africa and the latest proposal by the World Bank. They should incur a 15% tax rate.